Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBerge on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna feel, we feel no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Okay, it's gonna take me a minute. My husband just texted from the hospital, and my brother-in-law, Joe, is home with Jesus. And so I want to thank and praise God. I want to praise God for life and for the gift of life and for the gift of life eternal and for the provision God has made for us in eternity and for the knowledge of salvation and for the resurrection power. And that's what I want to say, and I want to claim it. My brother-in-law, Joe, is a believer, and so I know he's at home with Jesus. It's not going to make it any easier to live here without him. Precious man. His life was hard. Joe's life was hard. I don't think Joe ever got over the trauma and the challenges that he faced when he was a little kid. But he was a man after God's own heart, and he lived a redeemed life. He struggled with addiction at one point. He lost a child. So, you know, part of the reunion story that's going on right now in heaven is Joe is with Joey, and that's a gift. So, praising God today, from whom all blessings flow, counting every good and perfect gift, which comes from above, counting one another and the gift of life, And begging you, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, who gave his life for you, I want to invite you to do that today. Because there's no way you will be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the grief that comes when someone you love dies if you don't have the confidence of where they are and who they're with, and that you one day will be with them as well. So, praising God for the life of Joseph LaBerge. We're going to take a brief break. Dr. Peter Kapsner joins us next. Hey, my brother Peter Kapsner joins us now. We talk every single week, and I don't know, now we may or may not talk about the things we'd plan to talk about.
Yeah. Carmen, I'm just so sorry. I just am devastated for you, and you know, the words fail, right, in these situations. I think yep. What you said is about the only thing that actually can be said, and this is when the illusory bubbles of our life pop, as I think for all of us, we know that they do. And here's the nice thing is I know you're not living in an illusory bubble. Like I have known you for these many years now, and I know that what you say off the air, and this is not a game. This is not something that you just want a job. Like you believe down to your toes that this kingdom thing is real, and that yep. this life is short and brief. It's hard. And yet there is a great hope. And so the grief with hope, that, mm-hmm. that weird mix that only kingdom people can experience where the fullness of grief hits and yet the fullness of hope is in the midst of the grief somehow. I know you believe that that's real. And I'm really sorry for just the suddenness of all of this. It doesn't take away from the grief, right, at all. And it doesn't right. take away from the hope, but it is, the trauma stuff is real.
Yeah. You know, it's we prepared ourselves, right? I mean, we have been Joe contracted COVID 3 weeks ago now, and his body wasn't able to, you know, fight it at home. And so, I don't know, 12 days ago, he went into the hospital, and it's been a declining situation, and they did what was available for them to do. And we were prepared at some level, but you're still never prepared, right? That's just the reality of the finality of the moment of life and death. And thank you. Thank you for understanding.
And I know you've been open with your story too. I mean, death is a familiar foe. I don't want to call it necessarily a friend, but it's a familiar foe. And I think, I don't know, without getting, you know, much into different sorts of stories, I was diagnosed with a terminal diagnosis for a period of time in my life, and it was lifted because it was an improper diagnosis. But what you just said about walking through the valleys of the shadows, I don't know how you walk through those valleys of the shadows unless the shepherd is holding your hand in the midst of those places too. You often can't even really see the shepherd in those moments. You just know you're being led in ways that are indescribable. So I share the passion with which you called out and just said, if you haven't done that, like if you don't have a shepherd for that deal, it is the most miserable of all misery.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as you, as everybody is now in this conversation together, thank you to the dozens of people who've already texted in.
Thank you.
You guys are just precious. You know, I want you to also hear us say, we recognize that every single one of us has lost friends and coworkers and loved ones who did not know Jesus. And we know that, like, I'm acutely aware of that. And that is painful. Peter, I also know that it is, you know, there's this opportunity that comes when someone close to you dies. You're just free. You are so free to, talk about Jesus. You're so free to talk about, that very thin space between life and death.
Yeah.
You're free to talk about life eternal in ways that, you know, sometimes feel uncomfortable. I mean, I got to tell you, you have somebody who you love who dies, and the evangelism window opens wide, because our ability as Christians to actually make sense of it, right? It's death makes sense to us. It's not... Yeah. It's not a foreign reality, and we know why it happens, and we know what happens after it happens. And both of those things are a mystery to people who are operating outside of the knowledge of God.
Yeah, you're so right, Carmen. I think about the few funerals that I've had a chance to officiate, and I love both weddings and funerals for different reasons in terms of being able to officiate that. But you just use the word thin space and the ability to evangelize in those moments. And you're not exploiting the situation to evangelize. It simply just creates space to talk about the possibility of the good news. And I'll never forget with a family where I didn't know the man who had passed away, but they had asked me as the pastor in the church to officiate the ceremony, and they played for me before the ceremony started the fact that this man went under the waters of baptism on like an old school audio cassette tape, right? So there was not video, there was no phone capturing or footage. It was well before phones and would do that, and they played it for me, and the footage was him going under the waters and then coming out and declaring that he does believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and they wanted to play that in the funeral itself. And I'll tell you what, it was almost as if heaven and earth had converged as one in that moment, when through the funeral hall was echoing this man's incredible confession and profession of faith. And you could just, it was maybe the most sacred moment I've had a chance to experience, because it was almost as if he, you knew that even though he had died, yet he was alive still. And you could just feel God inviting people, just confess, just profess that he really is the Son of God. He really has conquered death. That tomb really is empty. And because it's empty, we can stand in this funeral hall some 2,000 years later and both celebrate his life, grieve his passing, but to celebrate also where he's at. I've never experienced anything like it. And believers and non-believers alike sitting in that funeral hall that day encountered a very living Jesus who has risen, and that's where our hope is in the grief. So you're right, it creates space exactly for those kind of conversations, unlike anything else.
Yeah, for those of you just joining us, I realize that we are in the middle of a conversation that, if you didn't hear the opening of the show, where I just learned, my husband went to the hospital this morning. They called and said, if you want to see your brother Joe, you know, now's the time, you need to come. And so Jim left just about 10 minutes before I came on the air. And so he didn't really know what was happening. And he texted just before we came on air for this hour, sharing that Joe has gone home to be with Jesus. And so for those of you asking now, Joe is my brother-in-law, my husband's only brother, his older brother. And so, yeah, so we're walking with Dr. Peter Kapsner in the Valley of the Shadow of Death. We're not talking about all the things that he and I had planned to talk about today. And, you know, I think that is a testimony as well, Peter. Like, we have to go where the Spirit leads and directs in a conversation. We can't always have the conversation that we plan to have. So maybe we'll pause there, take a brief break, and when we come back, I don't know, we might keep talking about this, or I don't know, we might talk about genderless weddings. I don't know. See, that doesn't seem nearly as important right now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem as important. I agree.
Or math. We might talk about math. That's up next on Mornings with Carmen.
That has never been nearly as important for me.
We'll be right back. Dr. Peter Kapsner and I are continuing our conversation. It wasn't a conversation that we planned to have today, but it is one of those conversations that every single one of us in Christ stands ready to have, and that is the conversation that happens in the face of death. And so I learned just before we came on air at the top of the hour that my brother-in-law, Joe LaBerge, my husband's only brother, passed away. Jim was with him, and that is a grace. God's grace is sufficient. And if God's grace isn't sufficient for this, it doesn't matter what else his grace is sufficient for. And so thank you for all of those of you who are texting in your prayers and your concerns. Deeply appreciated. I know you're with me. And I also know that, you know, we stand ready to weep with each other. We rejoice with each other a lot, particularly when Peter's on the show. But we also stand ready to grieve with each other. There is something about being a part of the Christian community, the family of faith, in these moments that is really important.
It is. I just got actually some chills when you said that last part too, Carmen, about being a part of that community of faith. To bear each other's burdens is, it can become almost a tired biblical phrase until you actually begin to bear each other's burdens. And I think that's exactly what is happening. I know you feel it keenly for the people who listen every morning that you go on air to help intercede and to bring wisdom and to bring help and equipping into people's lives and the outpouring, of course, and support the other direction. I mean, think about the beauty of that in the midst of the tragic variability of life, because the reality is whatever's in our social calendars or whatever we think might greet us in a given day, I can only really think of one way to greet the day, and that is, you know, morning by morning, new mercies I see, great is thy faithfulness, and trust that in whatever variability of the day is going to greet us in the midst of this broken world, that God is faithful. But not only that, when the people of God are faithful together with one another to carry each other's burdens, you were talking about math before the break. I'm terrible at math, right? Once I get past the long division, it gets really dodgy from there on a
okay,
number
now,
of
wait a
levels,
second.
Right?
Just, we do have to pause there for just a moment, because you did demonstrate yesterday to Paul and I that you know how to multiply by 14.
So that's fair enough. But having the technology of a calculator was wildly useful in those moments. But
okay, can I tell people the inside joke really quickly?
Please,
and then you can get back to your serious
point. We'll talk
about
this in weeks ahead, for sure, yes.
Yeah, we are definitely talking about this in the weeks ahead. In fact, Peter and I are going to be on air for a full hour together during Fall Share in a couple of weeks, and our entire hour might be spent just on multiples of 14. And here's why.
Yeah.
So there was a woman during the season of Lent, right, the 40 days leading up to Easter. She had chosen as a spiritual practice to fast from eating meat, and she was 30 days into her fast when she saw an advertisement from McDonald's for a cheeseburger or some kind of burger. I don't really know. I don't know. We probably need more information about specifically what advertisement
likely, right?
She
McDonald's
saw.
McDonald's cheeseburger.
Because
yeah,
the ad was so good that she was led to break her fast. And so she has sued McDonald's for this moral damage done to her, this ongoing moral damage, because she was led by their advertisement to break her fast.
So then I forwarded that to Peter as, oh, we have to talk about this story. And then I read the rest of the story, which is she's suing for the equivalent of $14. And I thought to myself, what is the value of my moral pain? Because $14, like, that does not seem like a lot to be living with ongoing guilt for having, you know, this spiritual moral damage that she has suffered. But you and I can unpack that on a later date. But
well,
that was,
yeah.
So then, yeah, so Peter did the multiples of 14 dance with us yesterday.
Wow.
During via emails.
And and when it was when we decided that the moral damage that Paul Perot creates for me every day I come into the studio with, I only did the first couple months of this year, and it was 253, Carmen. And granted, I was rounding up on half insults, but Paul, the moral damage Paul has done in this time is substantial at this point.
But you like being picked on. That's your love language.
Yeah,
if I didn't do it, that would be moral damage
world,
to you.
Yes, in my warped world, teasing is a love language. That's a really, that's a rough place to be.
Fair's fair.
All right, so we're working to bring levity back into the conversation today, in part because Peter and Paul both know that I have to get prepared to do an author interview at the bottom half of the hour. And so... although, you know, obviously we are going to spend time as a family grieving the loss of my precious brother-in-law, here on the air, we are probably moving through that subject matter faster than most people. It's like probably for some people like, wow, that was speedy. But Peter and I and Paul, like there's a joy about Joe being in heaven that is really indescribable. And so thank you for those of you who are texting in. I'm going to have to figure out how to print all of those out because Jim will want to read them as well, and know that you all have been praying with us and for us. Peter, you were probably about to make a really important point when I interrupted on the conversation about the multiples of 14.
Well, it's far less important than multiples of 14, clearly, right? No, I'm just thinking about the idea of kingdom math then. So if I don't know my multiples of 14, and I clearly don't without the help of a calculator, I do think that there's a kingdom math somehow that if you have close people, and this is the value, this is among the many values of having dear friends with whom to walk through life or people in a community, is somehow that burden that we carry when it's shared by another person, it's almost like it's not 50-50, like they get 50% and we get 50%, or if there's three or four people in your life, 33%, 25%, it somehow is distributed in a way that the weight is almost entirely lifted in so many incredible ways. So I don't know how God's kingdom math works entirely. I just know for the people listening this morning, and I know you have these people in your life too, to be able to share these burdens, to be open and vulnerable and transparent with other people in trusted relationships, it's a weird thing, and I'm sure you've experienced it, Carmen, that the burden is still there, but it is shared almost like the loaves and fishes somehow, that the math is exponential in some ways that don't make any sense to me. And I think these are the things about life in the kingdom, these wonderful, beautiful, deeper magic, hidden mysteries kinds of things, that when our confidence is shaken in following Jesus because of the tragedy of this world, those are the things that he brings as sort of this deeper anchoring that restores that sense of confidence. And obviously, we're all with you in this in exactly those ways.
So let me take a minute here and say thank you to Tammy, Mary, Jack, Purin, Kim, Megan, Kathy, Mary, Jennifer, Debbie, Stephen, Dean and Carolyn, Jacqueline, Cindy, Talia, Lisa, Randy and Jean, Martha in Manchester, Lori, Jeff, Julie, Marianne, Reverend Castro, Eve, Jessica. Thank you. Thank you to each of you and all of you. Thank you to those of you who texted in whose names I don't know because your number shows up as a phone number. So thank you to my friends in the 618, the 717, the 701, the 612, 563, 218. Thank you also to Sheila and Kim. Thank you to each and every one of you who have prayed for me, have been praying with us in relationship to my brother-in-law, Joe. Thank you for your text this morning on the text line. Each and every one of you is absolutely precious to me. We are in this together. Peter, thank you for your willingness to just, you know, have a conversation at the foot of the cross and at the empty tomb, hands held high in resurrection glory, and acknowledging that a brother has passed from this life to the next, and we will all enjoy heaven together. Thanks, brother.
Indeed.
I really appreciate
Indeed.
It.
Indeed. Yeah, I'll celebrate and grieve with you today, my friend.
Thank you. We're going to take a break for Breakpoint.